Welcome back, everyone. Season 3, episode 12 of What Are Your Thoughts? In this episode, I'm going to cover some listener questions and also discuss the stock market and its performance, or lackluster performance, I should say, in 2022 thus far. After the disclaimer, we will jump in. Thanks for listening.
Doug Osterhart works for LifePoint Planning. All opinions expressed by Doug or any podcast guests are solely their own opinion and do not reflect the opinion of LifePoint Planning. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for investment decisions. Clients of LifePoint Planning may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast.
All right, episode 12 of season 3. Today's episode, I'm going to cover some listener questions. I'm also going to talk a little bit about the stock market and where we're at. At the time of this recording, the market is down basically to its lows of the year so far, down 22-23% or so. I'm referring to the S&P 500 when I mentioned the market in that case. So just going to spend some time talking about that and talking about some listener questions and going from there. But before I jump into that, I just wanted to say thank you so much to the listeners and the watchers, the viewers, if you will, on YouTube, and the listeners on your favorite podcast platform. The podcast has had some awesome growth over this year. And even in the past month or so, I've had some prospects that mentioned that they listened to some content and they got a feel for how I work with clients and, you know, the way that I try to maintain a strategy agnostic approach, and I try to meet clients where they are in terms of just how they view their retirements and their investment portfolios. And you know, those prospects have mentioned that by listening to some content, it really helped them in the decision making of working together. And so I just wanted to say thank you so much to the listeners. All right, jumping into this, and the first question is from a friend of mine, and it is this. He asks, is the Biden administration just absolutely killing stocks? So before I get into answering this question, I want to say that throughout my book of business, I have clients that are on both sides of the political aisle. And it's really interesting because you see a lot of polarizing opinions when you go on social media and just in the media in general. And a lot of my clients on either side of the aisle are just really great people. So I just wanted to preface that and say that I work with people all over the board, and I don't really hold any biases to anyone, no matter what their political affiliation is. Really, at the end of the day, we're just trying to help them meet their goals and optimize their financial plans. So I took this question as, you know, what is going on in the stock market rather than, you know, what one person is to blame for the stock market's negative performance so far in 2022. So I answered the question basically just saying that it's not necessarily one person or one political party that has been the cause of the market downturn so far this year. There's a lot of different factors. And obviously people do not like to see their portfolios go down. I don't like to see their portfolios go down. But it's what you get when it comes to investing. So if we unpack this question a little bit, the answer is that there's a lot of reasons. And the, you know, a simplified answer is that there was trillions of dollars that got flooded into the economy. And when that happens, generally prices inflate because there's too much money chasing too few of goods. That's just the classic example of inflation. So that's kind of where we're sitting at today. Obviously, there's some other factors as well, whether it's supply chains or the war in Ukraine, and other things like that. But, you know, economically speaking, when you flood an economy with money, that is a root cause of inflation. And so kind of what the Fed is trying to do right now is raise those rates to get inflation under control. And Fed Chair Powell said a couple days ago, after they raised rates again, that's their main concern, and they're just going to do whatever it takes to get inflation back to their 2% target. If that means continuously raising rates, then that's just what they're going to do. So does that mean the stock market's going to go down just every single time that rates get risen? We don't know. And that's what you have to understand as an investor, is that nobody knows what will happen. So you have to have plans in place, and you know, you have to allocate your investment portfolio appropriately for all the curveballs that might get thrown your way throughout your financial life. So just to answer that question, I basically just said, I really just said no. It's just a culmination of what has happened, and just money getting, whether it's printed or flooded in the economy, that has caused inflation, and that has caused prices to inflate the stock market, which now they are coming back down to earth. And they might have, you know, you could argue that they were artificially inflated. But that said, if we look at the math and just focus on that long-term mentality, which is way easier said than done, and I'm going to discuss this more, it's always worked out for long-term investors. And, you know, if you were to go in and just pick a day in the market, you might have a 50-50 chance of whether it's up or down. And over a decade long, you have a way better than 50-50 chance that the market has gone up throughout a decade long holding period. So it's kind of just a perfect storm, I guess, of where we're at as we sit today. And obviously the market's down. People don't feel great about it. Investor sentiment is really low. And it honestly reminds me of, you know, I remember taking phone calls on March 20th of 2020 at the COVID market bottom. And people were just so scared of the unknown. And that's one powerful thing in investing and just in general, right? Your brain is hardwired to be in fight or flight mode. And when things are going against you, it doesn't feel great. And you're like, all right, I just want to get out of here, right? I don't even want to fight this. Just move to cash and I'll feel a lot better. And if that's you, then that means your portfolio was never allocated appropriately in the first place. So you have to take a step back and realize that you have to own the investments in your portfolio that fit for your situation, not what your brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandfather, parents, postman, you know, or postal woman, not what they're doing, right? You have to own investments that are going to fit for your goals and your portfolio. So that was, you know, one of the main questions that I received is, you know, it was asked in a way about, is the current political administration killing the stock market? And that's, I mean, you can't really pinpoint it on one person for the reason that the market's going down. So that was my answer to that question. Now, the next question or the next topic is just talking about what even is investing. And, you know, the market's down this year. So is investing really just gambling, right? Like over, you know, in 2020 and 2021, the markets were up and it seemed quote unquote easy, right? There were a lot of people making a lot of money and there was a lot of FOMO and people were just, you know, just so thrilled that they could pick any stock and it just went up. It was a question of which stock is going to go up the most. So now we're kind of back to reality. And I was looking at something yesterday that the S&P 500 and its number of down days of 1% or more. And they said the S&P 500 has declined more than 1% on 1 out of 4 days this year. So 25% of the days. The only higher readings since 1990 were 2002 and 2008. So, you know, 2002, the tech bubble, and 2008, the Great Recession. So if we look at that data, it looks pretty bad, right? It's like, oh, well, here is a statistic saying that 2022 is one of the worst years since 2008 or since the early 2000s, whether it's 2001 or 2002, and specifically 2002. But, you know, again, it's just a piece of data. So what we have to do is really look at going back to that question, right? Is investing just gambling? So how I answer this, and I'm going to talk about the math behind that, and then also talk about portfolio composition and portfolio structure for younger investors and then those on the cusp of retirement. But to answer the question about gambling first, mathematically at least, they're the exact opposite. Hard pause, right? So what does that mean? So when you go into a casino or you gamble in general, the whole premise and the whole goal of a casino is to collect a few pennies on every dollar that you gamble. And different games have different odds, but that's the whole goal. It's not so that you lose all of your money immediately, right? There's going to be days if you just gambled with however many dollars per day and you did it for an entire year or 2 years, there's going to be days where you go in and double your money, and there's going to be days where you go in and lose the bankroll for that day. So it doesn't feel like that, you know, it feels more volatile, but really the casino's whole entire goal is to take some pennies off of every single dollar over the long term that you gamble with. And so the basic premise of that is that the longer amount of time that you spend gambling, the more likely it is that you will lose your money. Let me say that again. The longer that you spend gambling, the more likely it is that you will lose your money. The stock market is the exact opposite. So I know I mentioned this a couple minutes ago, but if you look at just one day of trading in the market and you either pick a green or red, right? You either say the market's up or the market's down. It's right around 50-50, right? There's a chance that it could be exactly flat, but that's not super, it doesn't happen super often. So it's really close to 50-50 that the market's either going to be up or down in any given day. But if you extend that out over the long term, there's something like a 90-95% chance that if you held your investments and just whether you own an S&P 500 index fund or whatever, that over decades long, the percentage that you'll have more money than you started with is something like 90-95%. So mathematically, investing is literally the opposite of gambling. The longer that you stay invested, the greater the likelihood is that you'll make money. The longer that you stay gambling, the greater likelihood is that you'll lose money. So they're literally the exact opposite. However, remember art and science, right? So that's what the mathematics say. The art side of the equation, we enter in human nature. So what do I mean by that? Well, if, you know, I've even gotten messages from younger investors over the past month or so. They're just like, hey, should I sit out for a little bit and not invest money? I mean, every dollar that I've put in this year has gone down. And it sounds logically true, right? It sounds, or it might be factual, right? That they've lost money, quote unquote, on paper at least. Their accounts have gone down, and every single dollar that they've put in, you know, might be, or their account in total might be down on the year. But, you know, their thought that it might be time to just sit on the sidelines before they put any money or more money to work in the market, that goes right against what the mathematics say. But again, human nature, that fight or flight, it feels like it would just be better to let the money sit in the bank account and where they at least know they won't lose any principal. But the math says otherwise. So how do we bridge that gap? And that's why it's really, really important to discuss these things. If you have a financial advisor, discuss that with that person and just say, hey, this is how I'm feeling. And as we develop and construct portfolios for clients, it's really important that we keep all of their emotions in mind and talk about different styles. Because even though a younger investor mathematically should keep adding to their account, probably hold, you know, 90 or even 100% in stock-based ETFs, whether it's indexed ETFs or mutual funds, and long-term they're going to have a great portfolio, they might not feel like that is the best fit for them. I have clients that are young and relatively risk averse. They're like, look, I don't like to see my portfolio go down, even though I know that the mathematics say that over the long term it goes up. I just don't like it. Okay, so we have to build a portfolio that is in line with their goals. That might mean, you know, there's going to be pros and cons to every decision. It might mean that they have to save more money because they're taking on less volatility and therefore taking on the ability to earn a lower percentage long term than you might get from just holding a total stock index long term. So there's going to be pros and cons and just, you know, ripple effects, if you will, of every decision that you make. So if you're that investor that really, you know, is young and doesn't like the volatility, that means you might have to save more. And I have clients that, or I have a prospect right now that it's like, I don't even want to see my portfolio go down by $1. And this prospect is on the cusp of retirement. So I'm like, okay, well, if that's the case, then, you know, and there's pros and cons. If you're not willing to take on any market-based risks, then you're going to have more money saved because your investment dollars will just not return as much as if you did have exposure to equities or to stocks long-term. So again, meeting clients where they are, you have to just be able to discuss the pros and cons of every decision and then find that middle ground and find that point where you can say, okay, here's a strategy that will work for you, knowing that you might be risk averse. Again, art and science, and it's really tough. It really is tough. And, you know, I don't like seeing portfolios go down, but that's the nature of investing in general. And the main thing that you can do is have a plan for that. And for those people on the cusp of retirement or in retirement, what I do for clients is we can assign different time horizons to different dollars inside of their portfolios. So my clients this year that, you know, have a blend of stocks, bonds, ETFs, mutual funds, what have you, they are not holding dollars in their account. Their account isn't invested 100% in the S&P 500. So therefore, there's a segment of their portfolio, specifically dollars that they're going to need in the short term, or maybe over the next couple of years, that are in cash or low volatility investments, so that they know that those dollars will be there, right? And I covered some of these in my retirement series over the past couple of months is just how to do that, right? What are some specific tools that we can use to hedge against some downside risk in the market? And that's really important as you're just doing planning, right? If you know, there's a misconception in the marketplace that you hire an advisor to just beat the market or to outperform the market. Well, I'm here to tell you that if you do that, which there are advisors out there that are really active and try to pick stocks that will outperform the market, but if you do that, you're really just setting yourself up for disappointment right off the bat, because there's really no one in the history of investing that has consistently beat the market long term. There might have been one person, but it just doesn't work like that. So you have to be able to control what you can control inside of your accounts, like setting time horizons up correctly, allocating the portfolio correctly, right? If you're entering retirement, and let's just say that you held 50% equities or stocks and 50% bonds, well, in years where the portfolio of stocks are down, you can access money from the bonds, or you can do a bond ladder to make sure that you guarantee to get all your principal back and a little bit of interest on that, right? There's ways to set up the portfolio for shorter term dollars and longer term dollars. And that's the art and the science of planning. And that's really where the value is added by working with an advisor, is them to look at your situation, or at least the good advisors, them to look at your situation and match the correct plan and the correct portfolio to how your brain works. And you really, like, what defines a good advisor, right, is having, you know, them, the advisor having the, you know, the EQ essentially to read people and know how they think, what they think, what their different styles are when it comes to investing in retirement, to then build the correct portfolio for them. And we can talk about averages all day long, like average returns, and that's fine for younger people, right? You can just say, hey, yeah, the market's down this year, but over the long term, on average, it returns somewhere between 7% and 10% or whatever the number is. So you're going to be fine. You have time. That's great. You know, and that can work for young people, assuming that they have the, you know, the X factor, right? Their brain can handle that, right? And they feel okay about that. They know that, you know, they still have 20 something years in their 401ks. So being down this year, that's fine. They're just buying on sale. Average returns don't matter when we're on the cusp of retirement or in retirement. The sequence with which those returns hit your portfolio matter way more. So it's important that you have a plan to assign different time horizons to different dollars in your portfolio, so that in years like 2022, you have a place to go for that income and you're not selling stocks at a loss. So it's just, it's really important. You have to be able to develop that portfolio, whether it's, you know, whether you're DIYing it or doing it with your advisor, to match that portfolio with how you think and how you feel about investing in the market. Because the worst portfolio that you can own is one that you're not comfortable with, and the worst portfolio that you can own is one that you are going to jump out of when markets are down, and jump out of and move to cash and lock in losses, right? That's the worst type of portfolio to own. You have to make sure that the portfolio matches your investing style, how you think, how you feel, and how your goals are mapped out for the future. So I will leave that point there. I might touch on it a little bit here in a second, but just in terms of just following up. But the next question that I got from a client, well, he basically just said, I need to stop checking my account, you know, and I took that kind of as, how often should you check your account? And here's a story. So I have a client that is a great client. She's awesome. She's been a client for 4 or 5 years now. And, she looks at her, she's in retirement, and she looks at her account a couple times a year. And I have young clients that look at their accounts every single day, and they have, you know, their emotions get all riled up depending on wherever the market is in that given day. And this client that looks at her account only a couple times a year, she is just worried about living her best life in retirement. And it's kind of refreshing to see. I went and met with her in person back in July, and we just, you know, we were talking about her income plan, and my thought was just, you know, are you comfortable with where you're at? And she's like, yeah, you know, this is great. I have enough money coming in every month. And I set it up to where we have multiple years of money that she can access that, you know, based on her needs. So this downturn in 2022 hasn't really affected her a ton. And she's just happy. I mean, she just doesn't look at her account. She doesn't really follow the media when it comes to investing and things like that. She's just like, look, I trust you. I just, you know, as long as there's money showing up every single month in my account, and as long as I'm happy, you know, those are my main goals. And it's just a real pleasure to work with. And it's funny because you see a lot of social posts about people that are like, oh, retirement's a myth, and, you know, I'll never be able to retire because of, you know, wage growth isn't there, and, you know, how, you know, inflation just over the long term is so high. So it's funny, like, on social media, when you hear that, you know, you'll hear retirement's a myth and things like that. This client has never made a six-figure income ever in their life, and they retired with $1 million. Their house is paid for, and they're living an awesome life. And, you know, you look at, because I obviously have their Social Security statement, so I look at their income throughout their entire working career, and it's like, how the heck did you accumulate this wealth, right? They're just a millionaire next door. They don't do anything extravagant. They just live a great life that is happy for them, or that makes them happy. So that whole BS where people are like, oh, retirement's a myth, it's like, okay, you have to take action, right? You can't be a victim when it comes to saving money. You have to be proactive, save the money, invest for the long term, invest through bear markets, and just always be buying as you live throughout your working career. And you can build wealth the right way. And I literally have clients that have done that. So I've seen it play out. So it's just really interesting. But, you know, in terms of how often should you check your accounts, I would say that if you're checking your accounts and they're making you feel uneasy, you either A, need to talk with your advisor on how to reallocate your investment portfolio just for a long-term allocation, or B, check the account less, right? There's been studies in the past about the people that check their portfolio the least often have the best performance, because there's this false sense of control that you have over your accounts, where a lot of times, you know, people be like, oh, should we do something in the portfolio? Should we do this? Should we do that? And it's like, those investors might have a false sense of control when it comes to the market, right? No one can control the market, but what you can control is making sure that your portfolio is allocated appropriately based on how you feel, how you think, and how you want to live your life. And that's super key, super important. Just wrapping it up here, looking at my notes. those were the main ones that I wanted to cover. So just in summary here, you know, it's not a political figure that's killing the stock market, and it's not a political figure that causes positive returns in the stock market, right? So people, you know, different presidents, you know, they'll say, you know, when the market's up, they'll take credit. When the market's down, they won't take credit. And it's just, it's not any credit of theirs to be given on either side. There's many, many, many different factors that are why the markets perform how they perform. Some of them we really don't even know. And then there's just tons of different factors. So that's how I'd answer, you know, that question. Is investing just gambling? They're literally the opposites, right? The longer that you gamble, the casino's goal is to take a few pennies over the long term. So therefore, the longer that you gamble, the more likely you are to lose money, where the stock market's the exact opposite. The longer that you stay invested, the more likely you are to have growth in your accounts. And that's just mathematics. And then finally, how often should you check accounts? It's really personal preference. However, again, the art and science, if you're checking your account so often and it's making you super uneasy and nervous, it's probably time to either reallocate the portfolio to hold dollars that make more sense in a time horizon context long term, or simply check your account less. And that sounds so weird, so there needs to be some context surrounding that. And the context surrounding that is just that because you have no control really over the market's day-to-day movements, checking your account and triggering some anxiousness or happiness if the markets are up, that doesn't necessarily have a net positive effect on you either way. Because day-to-day movements over the long term just don't matter. You really have to figure out that long-term plan. And if you're on the cusp of retirement, you have to figure out how to allocate your portfolio appropriately for when times like this happen, not if they happen, because we know that bear markets do happen. And to be an investor, you have to be willing to go through a bear market because it's impossible to time the market. So it's important to structure that portfolio for your specific situation. I will go ahead and cut off the pod here. If you have questions, if you have thoughts, if you want me to explain things a little bit more, and or would like that retirement style guide, or I should say retirement strategy guide, that I've had a few people reach out and just say, hey, will you send over that retirement strategies guide for all market conditions? And I just send them a quick email back. So if you would like that, send me a quick note, info@lifepointplanning.com. And I will send that over. Again, thank you so much for listening. I hope these topics are really relevant, especially as we sit here and these uncertain times here in 2022. I just wanted to say thanks so much, and we will catch everyone next time. Take care.